So again, we have some interesting responses from the audience. Tom, I'll throw this one to you. With all this talk about invasive core biopsy, no one has mentioned the risk of pneumothorax or hemorrhage. What about the published data on CTCs, mutational testing, which we can check mutation status by PCR FISH or even sequencing? When will this be prime time instead? Any faculty working on this? Faculty rocks.
So I'll address the first part of it, which is the invasive core biopsy, and then I'll let Leisha deal with the CTC since that's really a big area of her emphasis. I think a couple things. I think that core biopsies are becoming almost mandatory now in lung cancer. And with the rise of interventional pulmonologists, I really think the skill set has improved to the point where they're much less likely to have symptomatic pneumothoraces that require chest tubes. Doesn't mean it doesn't happen, it does happen. But if you look at Roy Herp's battle study, there were very few patients. I think one patient out of 280 had to be hospitalized. They were very, very rare that they would need a hospitalization after a core biopsy. So I think for now, core biopsies will continue to have an important role. But Leisha, you've probably done as much work as anyone on CTCs and lung cancer. Where does it stand?
So I think we're in a bit of a conundrum with CTCs because yes, as the question asker was saying, biopsies come with their risks, but at the same time, our technology is going ahead in leaps and bounds and we need more and more tissue to do things like the deep sequencing that Jean-Charles was talking about. So I think it is going to be somewhat challenging to get as much information as you can get about deep sequencing a tumor from CTCs. However, I think that technology platforms are advancing and CTCs may have a real role in lung cancer for determining specific mutations, especially in research and following the response to a new experimental drug, seeing if you get the pharmacodynamic inhibition that you're looking for. There are technical challenges in trying to isolate these CTCs, but it's promising.
Yeah, I mean, I think that caveat about the risk of core biopsy is interesting. I mean, everybody here wants to biopsy an 88-year-old person. It's amazing. Do we know anything, Corey, about, you published a lot about the issue of older patients, about the risks of core biopsies in patients that are older?
Not specifically older patients, but certainly they are more vulnerable. They have less reserves. So any risk that you'd ordinarily see could be magnified in this group. But going back to CTCs, Leisha, it's my understanding that they're notoriously hard to find in even advanced metastatic non-small cell. In our own shop, we've been able to cull CTCs in small cell quite easily, particularly extensive disease, and see nice correlations with the baseline level and actually prognosis. But what kind of technology will we need to actually isolate CTCs in advanced non-small cell?
Well, I think there are a lot of different platforms out there that are being studied. Many groups are using the FDA-approved Veridex platform. At Mass General, we've been focusing on our own CTC chip, but I think you're right. Small cell seems to be, for whatever reason, easier to capture than non.
And there's also increasing emphasis now in trying to do more with less. So the new platforms, even FNAs ultimately, hopefully, will enable us to interrogate single cells or relatively small specimens and really maximize our understanding of the molecular abnormalities that are present. For now, though, until we've perfected that technology, more is better. Core biopsies are still important.
I mean, the problem is that our colleagues in other disciplines want to do less and less in terms of EBUS and less invasive procedures, navigational bronch, and all these sorts of things. So their strategy is to get less and less, and we want more and more. I do think over time we'll be doing more with less, as we've talked about, but I think it's an issue.
And as far as published data about complications from biopsies, I think the largest series is probably from MD Anderson's battle study, where they were really, in order to go into this study, you had to have a biopsy and a core biopsy at that, and they had very low rates of complication.
Not only core biopsies, but how many core biopsies did
they?
Three.
I think three, yeah.
Yeah, so this is multiple core biopsies.
I think they had one patient get hospitalized with a pneumothorax for 1 day.
Now, obviously the huge caveat are these are patients that make it to MD Anderson, not patients in Des Moines, Iowa. No disrespect to Des Moines, Iowa, but they're not your average patients.
No. We're Boston. Fair enough.
Wake Forest, North Carolina.
Jean-Charles?
Yeah, I think every effort needs to be done to get tissue. Now, going back to the CTCs, is very dependent on the platform. So in France, we use a technique that is isolation by size of CTCs, which is membranes that have pores. So you can catch epithelial and non-epithelial cells. And non-small cell lung cancer frequently undergoes EMT. That's why the Veridex system doesn't catch them so frequently. But we just submitted yesterday a paper to JCO in which we were able to develop a FISH for ALK CTCs. absolutely outstanding. Every single patient with an ALT translocation in the primary tumor was positive by CTC FISH.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, how convinced are you the CTCs truly reflect the biology of the underlying tumor? But you're saying that they usually do. The EGFR stuff did, and so the ALK stuff is interesting.
Could I just ask, Corey, you brought up small cell. What do we know about mutations in small cell?
Very little.
Are we going to find out soon?
I hope so.
Roman Thomas from Germany, from Max Planck, has a big paper coming out on mutational analysis in small cell lung cancer.
And?
I honestly cannot recall what the driver mutations were, but there were many abnormalities found.
In 25 years, we have not progressed beyond platinum and etoposide.
The question is, do you have druggable abnormalities in small cell?
Right.
That's the issue.
One of the Roman Thomas findings is FGFR1 amplification, although it's not as frequent as in squamous, which are 10 to 20%. There is 5% of small cell that have FGFR1 amplification. That's actionable. There are compounds out there.